broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Bow to the people! Bow to the people! It's time for Bow to the People. Come on, way. Come on now. Bow to the people. Bow to the people. Bow to the people. It's Bow to the People.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Powell to the People, live on the radio. Wayne Powell here at the beach, and we have our program director and sound engineer, South Bay Jay, in the studio. Well, this is probably going to be one of the saddest shows that I'll ever do. You know, no words can possibly describe the massive devastation, loss of homes, loss of lives, businesses, and, of course, livelihoods from the businesses, from the Southland fires. You know, it's just amazing what happened, but there's still ongoing, the Pacific Palisades fire, the Eden fire. I believe the Hearst fire has been extinguished, and then there's other spot fires that have been going on. And hopefully we've seen the worst of it. But I don't really want to jinx anything, or I shouldn't really be saying that because you never know, as if, you know, there hasn't been enough damage, destruction, and deaths already. And the number of deaths that they're reporting is definitely going to increase, sadly, because now they're bringing in resources. There's still areas that can't be accessed. And some people are not aware of whether their home was lost. There are some homes that, you know, you see like what looks like a war zone, and then you'll see a house here and there that remained standing. And it's not because it was like a brick house or a concrete house. It's just for some reason, you know, as fate have it, and they were saved. But there are resources that you can go to, and I'm going to mention them later in the show. A number of the local television stations here in L.A. have actually done, it's like aerial videos, and they have this new technology where it actually shows the streets and specifically the addresses. I know some people are frustrated because they can't get back in to see, you know, whether their house survived or whether there's any belongings that can be salvaged, or even worse, loss of loved ones, you know, people that are unaccounted for or missing. And then, of course, there's the looters that are trying to come in. They arrested one person. There was this reporter that was doing a live broadcast, and he saw what he thought was a firefighter sitting down on the ground. When he went over, he noticed that the person had been handcuffed. It was a looter dressed as a firefighter. So, you know, that's the most despicable thing that can possibly happen when someone has already suffered. Well, they've lost everything except maybe the clothes on their back. And then to add insult to injury, then you have these opportunists, you know, the looters, there's fraudsters, you know, all kinds of bad people out there. I want to talk about that later. Well, maybe I'll do it now. You know, it's like here we have a heartbreaking fire disaster. And then there's all of these fraudulent scammers and looters, and there's price gouging going on. And then some politicians are using this as inappropriate political fodder, further their political ambitions or, you know, create politics out of something that's probably just as despicable as, you know, all of the other things that have been going on. Of course, you have to be careful. A lot of people want to donate funds. They want to see how they can help. But there's these organizations, and there's like phishing and spam, not spam, but malware, spyware, and whatever that are on links. Or the links look like a reputable website, like it looks like it's, you know, redcross.org, which is the American Red Cross Relief Agency. But that's what it looks like. But if you go to the link, it's actually directed to some other site, and people are there to take your money. And obviously it won't be getting to the people that you need to get the resources to, you know, recover. Who knows how long it's going to take to rebuild. You know, how do you replace 10,000 or more structures? How do you find housing for thousands of families in the meantime? What do people whose livelihoods depend on, serving the resident population? It's just like this one individual, not only did he lose his house, but the business that he worked at was destroyed in the fire, and now he's out of a job. And it's just unbelievable the scope of this disaster. Now, you know, on prior shows, I talked about disaster preparedness, and I'm going to address some of the things you can do to be prepared. I'm going to be doing that later in the show. But I talked about it relative to earthquakes, because here, locally, we're in earthquake country. But the same thing applies to catastrophic fires, as we've seen. You know, we had some heavy winds that they categorized as like hurricane force winds. That's what, you know, spread the fire initially last week. And so, having an earthquake preparedness kit, a go bag, which I'll talk about later in the show, or a stay kit in case you have to shelter in place, that's extremely critical. But it's just amazing, the devastation that we've seen. We all feel sorry for those who have lost everything and are displaced. However, kudos to the local residents who have opened their homes and provided assistance to the Southland wildfire victims. And especially thanks to the brave firefighters, including our own South Bay firefighter strike teams that are assisting. And of course, the emergency first responders. Thank you, again to the firefighters and responders for their brave and heroic firefighting and rescue efforts. It's just, again, hard to believe what's happening. I believe, or it appears as though things are improving. I'm not sure how long the fires are going to continue, and hopefully they don't spread to populated areas. But the one thing now that we still have to be careful about is, I would say refrain from outdoor activities due to the ongoing harmful air quality. Smoke and ashes are still raining down, although not quite as much as it was last week. I swept down my driveway and sidewalk. I was wearing, of course, an N95 mask. It was actually double mask, and I had my emergency goggles on. And then it was like not even a day later, and, the ash and soot was there. And I just said, to heck with it, I'm not doing anything more. at least for another week. It's fairly difficult to see out of the windows because they're coated with that. You know, being close to the beach, I guess maybe the sea breeze brings it in more so than perhaps other areas. We used to always believe that when the air quality wasn't that great, it was people in the inland areas, like, you know, and they always used to talk about Riverside County as one of those areas. But those were the ones that were mostly impacted by, you know, the poor, I should say, toxic quality of air. But when the wind's blowing the opposite direction, then I guess, you know, close to the beach, we're kind of sandwiched in. And when I say, you know, toxic air, it's not just, you know, ashes and soot and particulate matters, but many of the homes were homes that were built, you know, when asbestos was allowed. You know, they also used benzene and formaldehyde and other, you know, materials in the paint and in the construction adhesives. You know, there's lead, all kinds of toxic chemicals that are being spread throughout. And even if the winds have stopped, or even when the fires stop, you know, well, it's still going to be on the ground. It's going to be blown around. So somebody, when I was outside briefly just to throw some trash in my trash can, said, "What are you wearing a mask for?" And when I explained to them briefly, they said, "Oh, you're right." So you need to take all possible precautions. You know, we're going to be impacted for years, even if we're not in the fire zones, because, of course, the cost of insurance is going to increase. If the utility companies somehow were found to be at fault, we're going to be paying more, you know, for the utilities. I think maybe they might start undergrounding some of their infrastructure or upgrading it. But, you know, that's going to affect us. There's a shortage of, well, a lot of supplies. Right now there's a shortage of apartments, hotels, Airbnbs, because there's so many displaced people that's one of their challenges, is trying to find, you know, temporary housing. If you do have, if anyone has a, you know, space in their homes where they can accommodate a family, or if they have areas where they can accommodate pets, you know, again, at the end of the show, I'll give, you know, an email for the various resources. One is lacounty.gov/emergency. That's the most important. It's lacounty.gov/emergency. emergency. There you'll find a comprehensive list of fire disaster emergency services, lots of info, a lot of good website links, as well as how you can help to donate. So if you're a victim, you say you lost everything, I'm sure you probably are going through the process of filing an insurance claim and doing a number of other things. But that website is very important. Just like for those of you that, and I've gotten a lot of text messages and emails saying, how can we help? You know, they either want to donate food or clothing or, you know, money. And there's a number of agencies. There's so many great agencies out there that there's not even enough time to mention them in my show. But you'll find them all at that website. And it'll also talk about having an emergency disaster preparedness plan. And as I mentioned, you know, previously I addressed that regarding earthquakes, because we are earthquake prone. And as they always say, you know, Dr. Lucy Jones, the the expert seismologist says that we're long overdue for the big one, not only on the San Andreas Fault, but the Newport to Inglewood Fault, which runs along the beach. But it's not a matter of if, but when. But I'm going to address all the things you can do to be prepared shortly, but that applies to fires, catastrophic fires, earthquakes, floods, any type of potential emergency. And previously, everyone thought the biggest one facing Southern California residents were earthquakes. Now, I think we kind of, well, I was going to say we kind of now have learned otherwise, but that could be potentially just as devastating or, you know, maybe even more devastating as we've seen in other areas. So, you know, right now there's, in the impacted areas, there's water shortages or there's boil water notices. There's power outages, gas shortages, grocery shortages. You know, I mentioned rental and hotel shortages. And sadly, some people are just what occurs in many other mass disasters, but there's price gouging. And, you know, price gouging is if they increase the prices by more than 10% within a 30-day period. Now, I have friends that live near the west, well, they live in the west side near Beverly Hills and close to Brentwood, where, you know, there was fire damage. Fortunately, they were safe, but when they went into the market, you know, it was like long lines, and the shelves are practically empty. If you want to buy, like, water or batteries or, you know, certain convenience foods, they're having difficulty keeping the shelves stocked. Now, I think that's in part because people that lost all of their stuff in the fires are trying to replenish, but also in people that are being temporarily housed, again, presumably because they lost, you know, everything in the fires. That is, you know, well, they're in desperate need. Then you have the hoarders that don't really need it, or certainly not as much, or not at all, you know, comparatively so, that are stocking up. I remember when in the past we saw people, you know, stockpiling toilet paper and, you know, other items like that. And that is also kind of the dark side of a disaster. You know, please, if you don't need it, leave it for the people that are in desperate need of those supplies. Now, prices are going to go up, not necessarily because of gouging, but because of short supply and the increased costs in the distribution to get, you know, reshelf, you know, the food and other supplies in the stores and markets. You know, a lot of businesses burned down in the fire, you know, retail chains, but a lot of, more sadly, mom-and-pop stores where that's someone's livelihood. And not only the owners, but their employees now are out of work. So, you know, it's just a whole sad situation. You know, I mentioned also, but I guess it bears repeating, all of the, you know, malcontent people. Again, the, you know, currently, before the fire, one of the risks were getting these fraudulent scams, you know, online, you know, getting these emails that are not what they appear to be. They're not coming from agencies that you trust. That was a problem. But now, you know, there's all of these, well, criminal opportunists, I guess, for lack of a better word, that are trying to take advantage, not just of the victims, but of people trying to help out the victims. You know, they want to at least relieve some of the misery by providing, you know, things that, you know, these now homeless, well, people have lost their homes and lost everything. You know, they don't even have the toiletries, like a toothbrush and toothpaste or sanitary items or, you know, clothing. They don't have any clothing. But on the positive side, there's these areas like at Santa Anita Park and others that, you know, people are dropping off all kinds of basic necessities of life and, of course, making monetary donations. The best agency would be the American Red Cross at, you know, redcross.org, although now they're looking more for monetary donations so they can buy what's needed, when it's needed, or as needed. So I'm going to talk more about, you know, this devastating fire situation. But first, we have to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's Powell to the People.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Love with Food delivers healthy, natural, organic, or gluten-free snacks every month right to your door. Whether you want a home or business box, Love with Food has got you covered. Membership starts at $9.99 a month. Imagine junk-free food delivered every month. And the best thing is that for every box you buy, Love with Food donates to food banks in America. To find out more, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click the Love with Food banner. And do it right now.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
It's Powell to the People.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People. Wayne Powell here at the beach. And, you know, this show is pretty much, not pretty much, it's going to be all about, you know, the fire situation that's ongoing. You know, there are a lot of negatives, but there's also a lot of positives. And I mentioned earlier, you know, our brave firefighters and emergency support personnel. I know our local beach cities have provided strike teams, and they're out on the fire lines. We're getting support. They showed on TV, you know, from Mexico and Canada and even Australia and Israel. They're bringing in resources. There was one hiccup that was just beyond imagination, but there were fire trucks that were coming in from, you know, especially pumper, water pumper trucks coming in from Arizona. They were stopped at the California border because they didn't have California smog certificates. Eventually, when that went public, then obviously the problem got resolved. But, you know, in an emergency, who cares? Right now, the pollution's already can't get any worse as a result of, you know, the smoke and ashes. But, you know, to have some bureaucratic red tape, but again, that was resolved. We're getting resources from everywhere. Initially, the water droppers and then the helicopters and planes that dropped the FosCheck fire retardant, they couldn't get up in the air because of the winds. And that's critical to creating, fire lines that, containment lines, I should say, as well as, extinguishing spot fires that could, grow to become, and yet another massive fire. So now they're able to use those resources and they're getting containment, but they're far from contained. And I heard an interview with a fire battalion chief that said that when they say, let's say, 70% containment, I'll just throw that number out, that doesn't mean, or even 100% contained, that doesn't mean that the fire's out. It just means they have a fire zone around it. But he said all it takes is one big wind gust, and it jumps the line, the fire line or the containment line, however you categorize it, and then all bets are off. So he said, even when you think the fires have been extinguished, there's still, high temperature combustibles and ash and other components that can reignite. Once again, the fire is on. So I don't know when they can be assured that the fire is totally out and taken care of, but I suspect that it's going to be for an extended period of time longer. They were also saying about how people were trying to save their properties with garden hoses and were ignoring the mandatory evacuation notices, not the evacuation warnings, but the mandatory evacuation notices. And sadly, some of them, we don't know how many yet, they lost their lives. One firefighter after another was saying, you can always replace property, but you can't replace a life. And, when it gets to the point where they're saying you have to evacuate, it means exactly that for your own personal safety. They talked about people who went into, apparently they had concrete basements, and they went into their basements and thought they would be safe. However, they lost their lives because of either the intense heat and or the smoke inhalation. And you can't believe how intense the heat must have been when you see those burned out vehicles where, aluminum and certainly all the rubber and plastic parts were melted, but that would be expected. But then you saw aluminum and even in some cases the steel had gotten to red hot temperatures. So there's a lot of things that you just can't even imagine, but I would always leave it to an expert. Whenever they say that you should do something or not do something, I'll always adhere because, they have much better knowledge than, I would ever have. I just want to reiterate that you know, the humanity that's being shown, people opening their homes, they're providing the necessities of life, making monetary contributions. I want to commend everyone. You know, but you hear the cliche, we're all in this together. Well, I'd like to use that cliche in the context of, yes, and we can all help each other out in this time of need. And so, again, if you want to go to lacounty.gov/emergency, on that website, you'll see links and pages to all of the outstanding agencies, you know, places that are providing shelter, places that are providing food and clothing, places that are, you know, like vets that are providing safe keeping for pets, as well as, you know, if any pets have been injured or traumatized, you know, they're doing their best to alleviate that situation. So I don't want to just talk about all gloom and doom. I do want to mention that there's a lot of great things that are happening to somewhat mitigate the unfortunate circumstances. And with every disaster, you hear about people that go above and beyond the call of duty, not just, you know, paid like firefighters and police, but also just average individuals volunteering. You know, there's a lot that individuals can be doing. And right now, I know that at the Santa Anita racetrack facility, they have volunteers that are distributing the clothing, sorting it all out, you know, by size and by sex, and also you know, sorting out the actual clothes versus supplies, and then even cataloging and separating the different types of supplies. So kudos to them. There's people that are transporting. There's people that are also transporting the individuals that lost their homes. You know, they're being transported to shelters. Also, that website, lacounty.gov/emergency, there's, you know, resources on if you need a ride to somewhere. Some people are staying with relatives. They had, like, horses, and they needed a horse trailer as well as a place to take their, you know, horses or goats or sheep or whatever. So we can all help out, and we all should help out. And I'm going to talk in the next couple of segments about, you know, what you can do to prepare and what you should do, you know, after or not do after a disaster. And I just want to give out one more website, and then we have to go to a commercial break. But there's another L.A. County website called ready.lacounty.gov, and that has a lot of useful information. How to be prepared in the event of some catastrophic event. Anyways, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
Powell to the People! Powell to the People! Powell to the People! It's Powell to the People!
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're in Southern California, you might want to consider HealthyLife.net Radio for advertising. We have 18 hosts that have shows with loyal listeners just in Southern California. That means you get local advertising and the world for the same affordable price. With packages for every budget, you can't afford not to let that economic sun shine in for your business. Call now 1-800-555-5453. That's 1-800-555-5453.
When you need quality Auto Parts Warehouse is fast and easy. Always get the part that fits. Just enter your vehicle type to find the parts specific to your car. Auto body parts, mirrors, brakes, suspension and steering, engines and drivetrains. Need something yet? What about exterior and interior accessories or headlights? Auto Parts Warehouse has them. Top brands, great prices. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Auto Parts Warehouse.
Everybody down! Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
It's Power to the People.
Welcome back. You're listening to Power to the People. Wayne Powell here at the beach. And now I want to talk about how you can be prepared, for whatever disaster can come our way, whether it's, a massive wildfire or an earthquake or, a flood or hurricane or tornado. And yes, we can get hurricanes and tornadoes here in California, and we have had some in the past. So don't send me a text message saying that we don't get that over here. Now, for people that are listening in on the East Coast, of course, yes, that would especially apply to you. But in order to be prepared, you should have an emergency disaster preparedness kit and, of course, a preparedness plan. Now, I mentioned the ready.lacounty.gov website where you can sign up to get emergency notifications via email, text, or phone calls. I'm a little bit leery about saying that because twice now, and I don't believe it was the county, I'm not sure, but we received notices, evacuation notices, and it went out to everybody instead of the selected areas it was supposed to go to, and it happened twice already, and sometimes that desensitizes people where they say, you know what, I'm not going to pay attention because the next one's probably a false alarm as well. So you should treat each of them seriously, and hopefully they've rectified the problem. I was watching a news conference, and they said that that was an automated system, that there was no human being involved. Well, you know what? They should have some human being monitoring and, a gatekeeper or a backstop to review things before they go out. But that's another story. Anyways, let me talk about how you can be prepared. And there's two things you should have. A so-called go bag in case you have to leave your house, or, if you're at work, you may have to leave your business. And then what's called a stay box. And that's if you have to shelter in place. Now, the reason why I mentioned home and work is because you don't know where you're going to be when a disaster hits, particularly, let's say, an earthquake. Could happen when you're at home, could happen when you're at work, could happen when you're in your car. So you should have a kit in all three. Have one in your business or place of employment, one in your home, and certainly one in your car. Because you don't know when the next disaster, where it's going to strike or where you're going to be relative to the disaster. Now, some people would say, well, if you're safe if you're in your car. Well, that's not exactly true because let's just assume that we have the so-called earthquake where, the infrastructure is going to be destroyed, roadways, overpasses, telephone and electrical lines, especially high voltage lines, are going to be down, and you may be stuck somewhere and you can't go anywhere. So that's a good reason to have what I'm going to describe in your go bag. And basically it's pretty much the same for your stay box. I know why they call one a bag and the other a box, but that's in case you can't get out of your house or you're told to shelter in place. And so what you should always have is enough food and water for every person in your household. And they used to say for 72 hours for 3 days. But now they're saying for at least a week or two, because in some cases there's going to be a period of time where if it's a major disaster, that's how long it's going to take for things to get back to some semblance of normalcy, or at least that's how long you'll have to be on your own. And and they learned that from major earthquakes in Japan and major fires in some other country. So, but definitely food and water. You should have necessary prescriptions and medications. You should have a change of clothes and extra eyeglasses or contact lenses if you wear them. You should have a map of your where you're working and also your house of where all of the emergency evacuation routes would be. And you should, whenever you go to a hotel, whenever I go to a hotel, I always scope that out, because let's say there's a fire and you can't see anything, and let's say the electricity is out so the emergency lights are not illuminated, you need to be able to kind of figure out in the dark, if it's happening in the evening, how to get out safely. Now, if it's an earthquake, and they say when the shaking stops, then you maybe need to safely evacuate a building. But you don't want to just run out of a building. And same thing with maybe a fire that's going downward outside of where you're at, unless it's approaching where you're at, and then maybe you have no other alternative. But the reason why you don't want to just run out of a building is, like during an earthquake, is because there's going to be downed power lines, or more importantly, broken glass from windows or bricks if it's a masonry structure. You have to be careful in that respect. Also, you should have, going back to the necessities in your go bag or stay box, but you should have extra car keys, credit cards, cash, or traveler's checks. I don't know if they use traveler's checks, but one of the things that they've experienced is in a major earthquake, when there's power outages, or power outages from fire or whatever calamity, when the power's out, the electronic computerized cash registers don't work and the credit card readers don't work. So they say you should have a supply of small bills, stored somewhere, presumably in a burn-proof box, along with, of course, critical documents, which I'll get into in a minute. Something that if you only have a moment's notice to, evacuate, you can just grab real quickly. So they should all be in one place. But I'll talk about in a minute, the documents and other things. One thing that's the most critical, of course, and it goes without saying, but you need to have a first aid kit, and as well as sanitation supplies. That's just critical, because if something's, I mentioned broken glass, there's going to be other obstacles that you can get injured on, that is extremely critical. You should also have a flashlight and a battery powered radio, and you should have extra batteries, fresh batteries. The reason being for the radio is because then you want to be able to tune in to emergency radio broadcasts, because there might be important that might. There will be important information. Of course, you want to always have your cell phone with you and a laptop nearby, like a tablet, iPad, or Android. But you should also have a phone charger. You should have a car adapter, and you should have one of those, or maybe not just one, maybe more than one, backup battery power packs. That will be extremely critical for to power up all of your devices. Preferably, maybe have one, at least one each, for each of your devices. One of the most important things I want to talk about are the copies of the important documents that you're going to need. But I'll do that. We're going to be taking a commercial break relatively soon. But one thing that I do want to mention before we go to break is you should have a dust mask and a whistle. Why a whistle? Because if you're trapped somewhere, and yeah, you can scream to try and get help, but at some point you're going to lose your voice. But with the whistle, that is not likely to happen. Now, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's Powell to the People.
Millions of Americans are without access to dental benefits, especially because of the high market demand for quality and affordable dental care in America. Now here comes DentalPlans.com. It's the leading online resource for discount dental plans and an alternative to dental insurance for families and individuals. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on DentalPlans.com now and find your affordable dental care in America.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm Carol King. The opportunity to study music is one of the most valuable things we can give our young people. Music is a positive outlet for creative expression. It reinforces teamwork, communication, self-discipline, and focus, all skills that will benefit them in every aspect of their lives. If your school has a music program, encourage your child to use it. If it doesn't, work with others in your community and do whatever it takes to get one. I know how much my music programs and music teachers meant to me when I was growing up. Leave your kids a note for the future. Support music programs and music teachers in your school and community.
A public service announcement brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
It's Powell to the People.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People. Well, you know, in our last segment, I was talking about the go bag in case you have to leave, you have to evacuate, and, of course, the stay box in case you have to shelter in place where you can't get out. And I mentioned all of the critical things like food and water and medications and extra clothes and whatever, certainly cash, because you're going to need it, you know, when the all of the systems are down. And, of course, definitely a first aid kit and sanitation supplies, flashlight, radio, you know, phone charger, all of that stuff. But now I want to talk about, you know, critical documents. You know, right now, some of the victims that, you know, they lost everything. They lost basic documents, you know, maybe like a birth certificate, passport, copies of their insurance policies, a will or trust, deeds entitled to properties, bank account records, including a listing of all your credit and or debit cards, things like medical records, important telephone numbers, even photos of family members and pets, not just because they're of, you know, they're mementos of things, cherished items, but also it might be necessary for identification purposes, and maybe even photos, well, I mentioned family members, but also pets. Also, you should have, like, immunization records, you know, those kinds of documents. Any document that you think is critical that, you know, maybe might be either difficult to replace or, you know, there's just not enough time in the day to, you know, be searching down documents, especially if you're, you know, in a hotel somewhere. But all of those, you should scan them in or take photos of them and keep them in your phone. You should keep them maybe on a flash drive or a thumb drive, you know, those little devices that plug in to like a tablet or a laptop. Or you might also consider keeping them offline, like in the cloud. I get a little bit nervous about storing things in the cloud because you hear of these data breaches, and, of course, there could be identity theft. But you just need to have backup copies in some kind of medium that, in addition to what you may have. Now, you should have them also either in a safe or in a, I was going to say a burn-proof box, you know, with those locking boxes. Nothing's actually burn-proof. They always say fire-resistant because it can only withstand certain high temperatures for certain periods of time. And then after that, you know, the metal gets red hot and can even melt. You should have those stored in a safe place, but have backup copies of those, especially like the insurance policy. Now, it's going to be interesting. Someone said the insurance companies are going to all go bankrupt as a result of the fires, but that's not likely because the government will bail them out, so to speak. And when I mention the government, that's you and I, you know, us taxpayers. So plan on, you know, having to pay for that. And then we all know that sometimes insurance companies can try and, you know, undervalue the replacement cost or, you know, the value of what was destroyed. There's also these scammers or fraudsters that are posing as insurance adjusters. And then lately I've seen law firms advertising about, you know, give us a call right away to preserve your rights or whatever. You know, shame on them. I mean, we've all heard about ambulance chasers, and I don't want to besmirch the legal profession. There's bad apples in every profession. But, you know, come on. Right now, people are at the worst time of their life. They're very vulnerable. And, you know, the last thing they want to be dealing with is, you know, attorneys that are more interested in unjustly enriching themselves rather than, you know, doing something of value for fire victims. So, and right now, that's probably one of the last things that people, these victims that have lost their homes and everything, that's one of the last things that they should have to be dealing with. So, anyways, one other thing that I left out in the list of essential items are you should have toys and puzzles, comic books maybe, for your young kids. That's extremely important, especially youngsters that are traumatized by what's going on. And there's a lot of donations of that that's been needed, you know, that there are a lot of donations that have been made, so you can't overlook that. Now, one other thing I want to talk about is drones. Don't be flying drones over the active fire areas or any of that burn areas, because if there's a drone up in the air, they can't have the water dropping and fire retardant, you know, helicopters and aircraft. And in fact, one of the planes was hit by one. It was out of commission for a few days. There was actually a hole in the wing of the aircraft. I know some people want to, post it, photos on social media, but don't do it. There are some people that want to do it to see if their house is still there, or, you know, what the extent of their damage to the house. They showed one house that looked like it was standing, and they said, but the house is a total loss. And I was thinking, I wonder why. It looks perfectly good on the outside. Well, on the inside, the walls were just black and coated with soot, and, you know, things inside the house had been damaged from the heat. And if they had sprinkler systems, there was water damage. So, I kind of digressed. You know, with respect to the drones, don't do that. The experts are, you know, doing surveys right now. Leave it to the experts. And as I mentioned earlier, the website where, and there's, if you go to like abc7.com, they did an excellent survey of, you know, aerial video of all of the burned out areas, and they have overlaid the street names and then even the house specific addresses. They show the address right over, you know, it's superimposed over the house. You can see there whether if you're still trying to figure out if you have a home to come back to or what the extent of the damage is. About a house that was left standing and wasn't fire damaged, and what it must like to when you return and it looks like a war zone around you. Anyways, that's all the time we have for the show. Sorry it wasn't on a great note, and this is, as I said at the top of the show, going to be one that, you know, one of the shows that I've always regretted having to do. But unfortunately, that's all the time we have. I want to thank my listeners for listening to Powell to the People. And always remember, power is the ability to do good things for others and to make your community and the world a better place, especially after a disaster. This is Wayne Powell sending you positive thoughts and good wishes. Stay safe. Be well. We'll see you back next time. Until then, bye for now.
Powell, it's Powell to the people. You're listening to Wayne Powell on Powell to the People. It's Powell, Powell to the people. You're listening to Wayne Powell on Powell to the People.